Well, we want to welcome all of you all who are here that listen to this podcast faithfully, or if you're just listening to the podcast for the very first time. We're in the book of John here on our Tuesday noon Bible study. And we're in John chapter 15, and I have been encouraged to do a little review upon these first 7 or 8 verses. We did have some people that had not the opportunity to make it, but they don't want to listen to the podcast. They want it fresh. So I will honor the request and let us jump right back into one. And to be all fair, if you've been listening and you heard 15 from the start, just fasten your seatbelts because we're going to continue to drive this point home. As you do know, being your podcast teacher of this Tuesday noon Bible study, this is my favorite book, the book of John. So I bear no bones about the fact that I'll stay in John as long as necessary. There's a lot that we should understand as being Christians. Number one, we should always study the Word of God, but specifically the things that the Father has put on display to expose us to are even more important. All scripture is relevant. Some are more important and carry a greater weight of measure. And so this book of John is the one that teaches us about the divinity of Christ. And that has to do with his divine nature. And of course, we have established the fact that Jesus was God the Father on display. All right. So if you want to know anything about our Father God, then you can look at Jesus and understand that he is the Father on display. God in all of his omniscient and omnipotent power is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how do you see a spirit? Well, you see it through the eyes of faith. And how do you see our Father God, who is a spirit? You see him through Jesus, who was the Word of God, that was with God from the beginning, that was made flesh and dwelt among us, as in earlier of John we read in John 1. So as we move on, we have here in 15, Jesus is informing his disciples of the fact that something is going to happen with him, but he's also encouraging them about who he is, his purpose for being here, and again, all of the things that the Father has given him, he's expressing up to them. I have to touch back on 14 for just a brief minute. In 14, we had verse 1 was, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in also in me." That was a classic. And again, he went back there again in verse 27 of that same chapter 14. Again, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." So we had that same slogan twice in one verse, which should also mean that if he said it twice, it's something to remember. So let's plow ahead. 15:1, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman." We dealt just a little bit into that last week, and let's touch it again. Here, God, the Father, is using Jesus on display to show the connection that he has to his people. All right, but he's putting it in a way that man can understand. Vines and the fruit of the vine was very precious back in the time of the disciple days, because of the fact that water was very scarce. All right, water was scarce at the time, and especially purified water. All right, a lot of water that was there was standing water. Of course, you know, with standing water doesn't stay pure for long. So everybody understood the fruit of the vine, because the grapes were crushed, and of course the juice, a lot of it not fermented as they do today, but was the drink of choice. All right, they had vineyards everywhere. Anytime you have mountainous terrain, the vines and grapevines grow well, and so. Here God is using something that everybody can understand. He says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman." And being a true vine means that that he's the connection that everybody should have. Now, you can be connected to a lot of things. Am I right? We can be connected to clubs. We can be connected to churches. We could be we are connected to families, right? And of course, our families have branches in them as well. You know, you have a matriarch, you have patriarchs, and from them offshoots all of the other branches of the family. So here God is saying, I am the true vine. We made another point. That word, I am, that expression there, I am, there are how many I ams in the book of John? Do y'all remember? Somebody says 10. They're close. I see, looking through the notes, there are 12 I ams. 12 I ams in the book of John. All right? Last week I gave them to you, but I'm not giving them to you this week. You're going to have to dig them up. But there are 12 I ams, and here is one here, and we've already mentioned some of them previously. So I give you that little hint. We've already been through some of the I ams. Like he says, I am the bread of life, right? All right, I am the good shepherd. We've already been through that part. All right, so now we're at I am the true vine, which means that there could be some more vines out there, and there could be some more connections out there, but they're not necessarily the true ones. All right, and my Father is the husbandman. Well, let's just look at the husbandman. What is the husbandman's responsibility? One is to care for the vineyard. All right. Now, in order to care for it, you got to cultivate it. You got to fertilize it. Right. You got to trim it up, and you got to guard it also against people. And birds and stuff that come in and affect it. So the husbandman here is a connection that we should understand that our Father is concerned about every aspect of our life, right?
Right.
And so by him being that, we want to know that there's nothing going on with us that the husbandman is not concerned with or does not know about, right? Because the husbandman is that he know everything about. The field, he know everything about what belongs to him. He's not a novice. He knows everything. So now we get into that Jesus is that true vine, and the Father is taking care of everything that's concerning the vine, right?
Right.
Okay, so now let's move on. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, we do know that the he here is the husbandman. All right? He there is the husbandman. Now, if Jesus said, I am the true vine, then he's the vine, but we are the what?
Branches.
We are the branches. So, we are to do what? Bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, then we're taken away, and everyone that beareth fruit, he purges it so that it'll bring forth much fruit. Let's just take a minute to deal with why would we not bear fruit?
A lot of it is immaturity.
Being immature. Being selfish.
And that's sensitive to leading the promptings of the Holy Spirit is part of immaturity as well, but
A clarification of being immature is not dealing with the leading of the Spirit of God, not acting upon God's word when it's presented.
Being ignorant.
Okay, doing it on our own instead of doing it, I'm gonna give y'all throw a few more out here because I want to bring it home. We getting close.
A weak prayer life.
Okay.
not loving God the way we really could have, should have, would, should.
All right. All right. And what would, you said not loving him. That's interesting. What else? Any more? I want us to think about this. Every vine has a root. And the root sends the sap through the vines that the branches draw from. Right? So if a branch is not bearing fruit, it could be because of its connection to the vine, and how much is it getting from the root. So if you got a branch that's cracked, it is hanging there, but it's not fully onto the vine where it can draw as much of the sap that it needs, because it's the sap that causes it to bear fruit. I want y'all to understand the nutrients and everything that goes to the branches in order for it to bear fruit is what makes it do that. You can have a branch, and if it's not attached to anything, it's not going to bear any fruit, right? Because it's not getting anything from it, right? So if you're not bearing fruit, it could be that you've broken away from the vine. You're hanging there, but you're not drawing from the sap or, you know, that's coming from the root that causes you to bear fruit. So if you're not doing that, you could be taken away if it's broken. Now, I do that sometime when I'm looking at flowers. If you got one that's hanging, or you got some stuff that's it done broke off and it's looking all dried up and it's not connected like it should, we just go ahead on and break it off. Unless you're grafting it back, you know, unless you're grafting it in to make something else happen, right? But what it says here, that is, if it's bearing fruit, he purges it so that it can bring forth more fruit. All right. Sometimes you just have to pull some of the dead stuff away from it so that the new stuff can come forth and bring forth more fruit, right? Right? And so that's what God is saying to us today, because I always like to express, how do you look at what he's talking about to these disciples, to us today? If we have the right connection to the right vine and we're pulling in the sap that the root is sending up, then we should be bearing fruit. And we did discuss what the fruit was, what, didn't we? The fruit of the Spirit. Right? If you're trying to understand what the fruit that we should be bearing, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Shouldn't we have the characteristics of the root that we're attached to? Right? Now, for you all that don't understand vines and grapes, you have different vines that carry different grapes. There's a lot of different kind of grapes out there. You got Chardonnays, you got man, as soon as I said that, all the rest of them people. There's several different. You have dark grapes. You have red grapes, white grapes. You got long. Green. What do you call them?
I did use green.
Yeah, you got green grapes. You got purple grapes.
Yeah.
Right. You got different kind of grapes, and guess what? Each one of those grapes have a characteristic of its own. It's got a flavor of its own. You got seedless grapes. You got different kind of grapes. But one thing about it. If you got a grape and it's supposed to do what it do, you got to trim it and purge it so that it'll bring forth more. Every year you got to go and cut back the part that's dried up and it's not really working, so that new growth can come, right? I think about it like this, and I was talking about this morning. We have hair on our head that has to be trimmed from time to time, right? Right, we have split ends, we got it can get too long and then just start getting unruly. That got to be trimmed out so that the new growth can come and so that it can really stretch out and be. So even in the natural, we understand that sometimes we got to trim some stuff, you know, that has to do in our life. Now, I know you all are so spiritual, I'm just gonna throw another one out here. Sometimes there are things I would say the word accumulate, but there are some things that attach themselves to us that we need purged away. There's some ideas and philosophies that we pick up along the way that need to be purged, that hinder those gifts of the Spirit to come. So these are some things that we have to understand. Sometimes God puts us in situations where he have to remove things from our life so that we can bear forth the fruit that we should be in our life. Can I get one example before we move on? Ho! Numero uno. Sometimes there's people that attach themselves to us that hinder our growth.
True that.
And so sometimes they need to be purged away. There's attitudes that we've developed over a period of time that God can show a mirror to us, and we say, and he says, that's really not pleasing to me, and it's not causing you to bear forth the fruit, and then that needs to be purged away. All right? So let me move on, because we get to that purging part, y'all might get hung up. Don't be sad.
Purging hurts.
Purging hurts. All right. But you know what? Have you ever seen one really bob down? When you see a tree that's been pruned or purged, it looks rough. But boy, you come back that next season, boy, it is gonna win. Boom! And it's even bigger than what it was. But you didn't see that big when you were looking at it once it had been trimmed up. All right. Now, verse 3 says, Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Boy, what kind of cleaning did that do? The word of God does purge and it does clean. Right? The word of God is he said the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Once that word of God comes and shed light upon it, then now the obligation falls on us that when we see it, to remove it. Right? When we hear the word and it touches us in our spirit, then it's on us to make the next move, right? Y'all looking at me, right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, how many of you have had the word of God when it came forth from the pulpit just hit you right and you said, ooh, I've been dealing with that. I knew I should do it.
Yeah.
And then he said, all right, y'all looking at me. All right, now, this just me. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes it seems like the preacher just talking just to me. Now, I know he didn't stay up all night just because he knew my name, right? But it's the word of God that and the Father who knows exactly when to apply that purging and what he needs to put into our life to get away those things that are hindering us from being productive in the spirit, okay? So now are you clean through the word? Is that not a reason for us to pray and to read the word so we can have the light, you know, shining on areas that's hindering us?
That's right. That's right.
Because if we don't, I love that word backslide. I love it. But you can't go forward if you're not studying and if you're not meditating, if you're not praying, how can you go forward? But you can't just stand still either. You think you do, but you don't. And the reason that you don't is because the world has got a draw of its own. All right? And it's got a way of pulling you back if you don't move forward. That's why would you think? Why would you think Paul said we got to press? Huh? We got to push past our flesh. See, I done started preaching and went to meddling. All right, let's move on. Verse 4 here is crucial. Everybody say crucial.
Crucial.
Because it means that there is a responsibility laid on us to do. This is a duty. All right. This is a responsibility for us who are called by God to be connected to him. All right. Abide in me, which means that's whose responsibility?
Ours.
It's ours. If he called you to be to come out of darkness into his marvelous light, is he going to keep you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Or are you going to stay out of darkness and continue into his marvelous light, right?
Yes, sir.
How many people do you know that ran up to the altar and then they ran back into the world? I know quite a few. They got excited. They heard a message. It stimulated them for a minute. And they ran up there and they cried and they went back. And on the way home, they said, you know, I ain't giving that up right now. I don't know why I did that. So abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it what? Abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Now, did that not make it plain? If you don't stay in God, you won't be in God. I had a question posed to me the other day about once saved, always saved. And they wanted to try to make an argument about it. I said, there's no argument about it. If you get saved, stay saved. I'm not the judge of whether your salvation leaves you or not. God is the righteous judge. But I know that I should be able to see some exemplary fruit in your life if you still saved. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, abide in him, he going to abide in you. If you fall off of the branch, what happens? You're going to wither and die. It's simple. You got to stay on the vine. And if one day the Lord permit, I'll preach that message in the patch, but not on the vine. Ooh. I said that last week. I shall repeat it again. Our life should be exemplary of what we're attached to. Oh man, we hollered when it came out. It wasn't in my notes, but here it is. If you abide in me and I in you, you cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in me. How many people are out there bragging about what they're doing, but they ain't giving God the glory from it?
Yeah, too many.
Huh?
Too many.
Yeah. I went to school. I did this. I achieved this. But they not understanding that it is God that gave them the power to do all of that. It is God that gave them the talent, the abilities, and gifts to do that in the first place. When they were born, they didn't even know they could do any of that. They didn't ask to be born, right? They didn't ask for the parents that they had. So now all of a sudden, the hand that they got is their hand, and they get the glory from it. I think not. All right? You can't, it said, no more can you except you abide in me. If you want the Spirit of God to dwell in you, you got to abide in the Spirit of God in order for it to dwell in you, right? If you want to see the miracles of God, you got to be abiding in God for the miracles to work through you. Hello? And again, your prayer life is going to dictate how much of a connection you got. I know y'all don't want to hear all that, but it's coming anyway. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are what? The branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Now, is that an amplification of verse 4?
Yes.
So, see, he's just saying if you didn't get it in 4, then get it in 5. Again, I love this. Is he leaving anything for you to not get about this?
Nope.
Right? Mm-hmm. Number 6. Now if you didn't get it in 4 and if you didn't get it in 5, this is what's gonna happen. Right? If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Do y'all want me to break this down for y'all?
Break it on.
All right. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. As a branch. There's a lot of people that's perpetrating out here. They acting like they got it. They showing up on Sunday like they got it. But they don't have it. And he says here, and is withered. That word withered means it dries up and lacks moisture and nutrient to grow. If you break a branch off and you let it lay in your yard, the first day it's going to be green, depending on how you break it off. The next couple of days it'll still be green. A week later you come out there, it starts turning brown. After that it just shrivels up. And if you put your hand on it, it crumbles up and disintegrates, and all you got is just the branch with nothing on it, right?
Right.
Now, when it says here, and men gather it, who are the men, do y'all think, that do the gathering out here? Anybody got an idea?
People in the world.
The people in the world. They will wear you out. And that's their job, is to wear you out. The world is not your friend. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And do we have an understanding that people out there use every weak and unattached person that they can find? They love gullibility. But if you're not rooted and grounded in God, you are gullible and easy to be deceived. Right? I'm just trying to help you. Now, I know you here listening to this podcast going, wow. But it's the truth. The men gathered them and they cast them into the fire. You can look at life as half full or half empty. But in this life, you're going to have some tribulations, trials, and tests. And it's worse without God.
Oh, yes.
Am I talking to the right group?
Yeah.
That's why I said, let not your heart be troubled. Because guess what? It could be true. It could look at situations. If you turn on the news and look at it, you think this world is gone.
Yeah.
We don't have no more hope. But we that are attached to the vine, we got hope.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We got hope because we know our what? Husbandman is going to take care of us.
Yes.
Right? We got a God that knows how many numbers of hairs on our head. He know what we're feeling. You know, no weapon formed against us. I mean, he's already set a way for us. And we should have hope and abide in that vine. Cast into the fire and they are burned. It also means that they are separated from the fire. And so they start growing cold. Right? Rough out there. Rough out there. Number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Oh. Oh, a promise. A promise. If you stay connected with God, there is a reward for staying connected. Right?
Right.
Now, I just want us to how do you apply that to life today? If I'm in the family and I go to my father and ask for some assistance, isn't it easier to get it if I'm in the family than if I go to somebody else's house and knock on the door and say, I need something.
Stranger.
A stranger, she said.
Yeah.
All right. One lacking light. Right?
Mm-hmm.
One void of understanding.
Right.
I mean, how do you expect to get anything from God if you're not connected to him? Now, you can get some mercy.
That's right.
call upon him, all ye people. Right? So we must understand what we got here. But if you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, you got a direct line. Then that sap is already coming up. And why would you ask amiss if you're connected into the Spirit of God that gives you the answers that you need spiritually? So that you ask for, you can get it because he's directing you to ask the correct questions. I love it when it says you ask, but you ask amiss. If you're in tune with God, you're not going to ask amiss. You're not going to ask for selfish stuff if your prayer life is right.
Right.
If you're drawing that sap from God and you and him are connected and y'all got a relationship, he's already giving you what to ask for. He's already giving you what you need to say. He's already giving you ways to think and how to look at things. Right? That's not right.
No, that's right.
Oh, that is right. Oh, okay. Y'all were looking at me. I was just trying to see whether it is.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
So good. I just
You should ask what you will. And look, what you will. Your will is God's will when you connect it. Right?
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man or woman be in Christ, they'll become a new creation. Old things will pass away. What are some of the old things? That I think not with my own understanding, but I let God help me in my thought life. Right? So then our will becomes his will when we release to him our will. When we say, God, take my heart, do we just say, I'm going to keep my will, but you just take the heart? I'm just asking a question. But when we surrender to God, do we keep our will or do we give it all to Him?
Give it all.
We're supposed to give it all to Him. So that's this is one of the promises that we got. If we lined up correctly, we can ask correctly, and then we'll receive correctly. Right? All right, let's go into 8. Wherein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And again, I want y'all to look at this today, in today's terms. God is glorified when you are disciplined and are a disciple of His. Is He not proud of a child that's obedient and doing what they've been called to do?
Yes.
You all that are parents, aren't you proud of your kids when they do what they've been trained up and developed to do? When they do the right thing at the right time? That's the way God is about us. He wants to get the glory out of our life. And He will if we connect it to the vine. Right? And it's not to say that we're not going to have tribulations, trials, and tests. It's not going to say, doesn't mean that we're not going to be knocked down, hurt, disappointed sometime. But we know how to get up. And we know how to draw mercy. And we know how to repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
We know how to repent. And stay connected. We don't repent and fall off the vine and say, well, okay, God, I know you ain't going to forgive me for doing that. So now I might as well go on out of here. No. People talk, you don't know what I did. God know what you did. But He's plenteous in mercy and grace. All right? And so He's glorified. Why? Why is God glorified when you bear fruit?
Because you're an obedient child.
Because you are doing what He designed for you to do before the foundations of the world. That's why we're supposed to be salt. That's why we're supposed to be able to make a difference out here. When everybody else is following, we connected, we don't follow. We're obedient, and we do what He tells us to do. Amen? Remember, we got to be a disciple. So shall you be. You are a disciple when you bear forth those fruits of the Spirit. 9. As the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. I love that. I love that part. Do we understand that sap that's flowing up from that root is love? We connected by love. Oh my God. If we would just fall in love with the Father, what fruit can we bear when that love is flowing through our spirit? Not only that, what love would be demonstrated in our life if it's flowing through our spirit? You don't remember when he said earlier, and back in a couple of verses, he said, they gonna know who you are because you have love one for another. You are my disciples because you show love. Is that not the demonstration of who you've been hanging around with when you act like them? Y'all don't want to go with me today. I understand. It's because it's raining outside. But we can't help but be like our Father in love. If we attach to Him and if we connected to Him, He wants to show the world who lacks love, love. The right kind of love. And sometimes we have to take a little abuse so that the love can come forth. Yeah, she said we do. Yeah, they not. Yeah, look, people not going to love you, but you got to love them.
Yes, you do.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Even though some
people are to love. They are unlovable. But if you demonstrate some love to them, that's the only thing that can crack it open.
Yeah.
Because I know some people have said, man, if I could have, I'd have knocked you out. But I couldn't. But in the midst of all of that, you stayed the same all the way through. What is that that you have that you could not hate me for that? Because God didn't hate me for some of the stuff that I did. He could have hated me for it, but He loved me past that. And that's how we demonstrate love, that we don't take offense at everything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now, there's some people, I love them at a distance. I'm just trying to give y'all some wisdom here. And some people, you have to love them at a distance. You can't get up on them because you're going to get hurt again, but you can love them at a distance. But you got to love them still. He didn't tell you to keep going back and getting knocked out. Y'all looking at me now. Okay, that was just a word of wisdom for you there. All right. So now we can get love because the Father loved the Son. And so we are loved because the Son loves us and we love him, right?
Right.
10. Condition. We had a promise and then we got a condition, right?
Right.
Whenever you see an if, there's a condition. Come on, Bible students. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Condition. If you stay attached to the vine, you're going to grow. Right? It's simple. If you keep his commandments and you stay abiding in his love, then you will be kept. Right? He already told you. If you already connected in there, you can ask what you will and it'll be granted, right? So now he's saying, keep my commandments, abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments. An example. 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How much time I got? Because I feel a preach coming. I don't want to get past it. What time is it?
We're not going to tell you.
Yes, y'all are. What time is it?
Almost 10
hours. Oh, I got plenty of time. All right. Now, bad choice of words. We do understand the difference between joy and happiness.
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
One's internal, one's external. Right?
Right?
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Never lose it. It's always in there. Even though circumstances and situations might cast a cloud over it, a shadow over it, it's still there. It's still there. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is that hard or easy? And looking like
I think it's easy, because once you get his love, it's easier to love people. Before you have the love of God, you're not even we're in the ballpark.
Right.
You know, where it's not really love what you're trying to force yourself to give, so it's not effective. So it's definitely easier with God's love helping us.
Would he command you to do it if it came automatically? I'm just asking a question.
No,
now I want y'all to, while we're having this study, I want you to look at all aspects of a text and draw out what it's saying and what it's not saying.
Because when he's saying love one another, he's not just saying love your kind. He's talking about everybody, you know, so that when an earthquake hit over there in Indonesia, you feel for those people who lost loved ones like you feel here for your people who have lost loved ones. You know, so that's the command, because he knew it wasn't going to be an easy task. Yeah, I can love Francis, but then, you know, I had an issue with loving, well, we're on a podcast, but people of other color.
Okay.
Know? So I had to really pray through that. And I end up getting a job where I was like a fly in a bowl of buttermilk. So that was really this hard command.
Right.
You know, so I had to pray and press through this.
Anybody else? Well, I mean, the first thing I thought was anytime that there's a commandment from God, lets me know that it's a necessity and it's not something that just automatically takes place. Just because I get saved, it's not automatically that I'm going to have this regeneration going on and automatically everything going to change. And when I wake up the next day, automatically everything's going to be all right. No, I'm going to have something to do in this. And I'm going to have to go back and hope, make sure I don't lose anything that I was given in the first connection. Because we can get lax, you know, and we can get comfortable, right? And then we can drift just a little bit at a time. It don't take much. Oh, I can pray tomorrow. You know, I'll get over there and do that. And you just start going a little bit, and after a while you'd be a long way from it. But it don't take but a little. They said just take a little leaven in there. It just take a little something in there. Don't take a whole lot. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, it's that little bitty nitpicking. Just keep plucking at it, and after a while the whole thing gone. I saw the commercial where they had the trees on the top of the cars, and they got the racing there. And then when they looked up at the top of the thing, all of the fifth thistle, everything were gone. It was just limbs up there. They had to drove through and blew it everything off. So I mean, we can in our life go so fast that stuff falls off and we don't even see it going because we're doing things and then we're losing a little bit at a time instead of being patient. And not be.
Also, I was going to say, also, like you said, some people can be so unlovable. And with me, it's like, okay, I'm reminding God, I know you told me I got to love this person. I got to love, but you got to help me right now.
Right.
This person is really overbearing.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? In life, doesn't that show that we always need him, that we can't, we cannot just on our own feel like we got it? That shows that sometimes we can assume we've arrived at some place, but we're really not there at all. And then that's a place we don't need to be anyway. We need to be back attached to the vine every day. Through what? Prayer. Reading of the word. Communicating with the spirit. I know y'all like me keep telling y'all that. I know y'all do that, but the people, some of the people on the podcast, you know, they need to be encouraged to continue to pray without ceasing, right? To study, to show themselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You Bible students.
And I did just do some of the homework that you gave.
Okay.
For looking up the I
am. So you found them?
Yes, I did in the
description. Yeah.
I was thinking too, even in times like that, when you think about the I am, helps you too, to, you know, be more lovable when you think about who God is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you said, Lord, I need for you to be that right now for me, you know, because I can't do it. I'm weak. And then he said, whenever you're weak, that's when he's strong. Right. But see, we have to understand we weak right there and not say, I got it. You know, I'm going to go on into this situation. I can handle it. No, you can't. You can't. As soon as you say I can handle it, I already made a mistake. You already put your, when you put your foot in it, you're too far in it. Amen. 13. Now he says, I'm telling you to love one another. And so if you try to say, well, okay, I love everybody, then here comes the explanation of the love. Right? Oh, rich young ruler. I keep the law. I've kept the law from my youth up. Really? Oh, okay then. Well, how about giving away all that you got, right? And then he didn't have it at all then, right? So here we can be talking about what we got, but here's the real demonstration of love. 13, greater love have no man than this. So while you talking about you got this great love, while you talking about I give to the poor,
I give to the United Way. You know, I pay my taxes. You know, I don't lie much. You know, here while you bragging about all this stuff that you do and how much love you got, here it is. That a man lay down his life for his friends. So now you could be called out real quick about all this that you got. Right? I love everybody. All right, let's go on down. How much money you got in your pocket? Let's go on downtown and give all of that out to all of them that's begging out there. Let's go buy 50 Big Macs and go out here. Man, I ain't giving up my last money to go buy no Big Mac for these folk out there. They need to get a job. These folk need to be doing, well, wait a minute, where's your love? Right? Lay down his life for his friend. Can I turn to the left just a little bit? Why y'all like revelation? Y'all like revelation knowledge? Now I'm gonna help y'all today. But y'all gotta be ready. Y'all ready?
Okay.
All right, when you go to a job and you negotiate your salary, are they telling you how much they're gonna pay you for? What are they buying from you? What are they paying you for?
Expertise.
They're paying you for your life.
Life.
You don't really? They are. They're paying you for your life. They're giving you X amount of dollars for how many hours that you work there. And that's a part of what? Is that not your life? Y'all looking at me like that. Y'all didn't understand that you... I tried to help you. I said, I'm going to take you to the left here, but I want you to understand, you give a portion of your life for X amount of dollars. So you are on their job. Most of the time, you're on their location. You're on their property. You're using their equipment. You're using all of this stuff. You've given a portion of your life for dollars. Right? No? Yes? Can we get a little understanding? Am I close to the ballpark? You're giving a portion of your life for X amount of dollars. It says, greater love no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Your money that you have, that you worked for, is a portion of your life. You spent hours of your time, talent, and treasure to have this money. Those dollars, thousands, hundreds, however many millions, that's time of your life that's been spent. We don't never think about it like that, do we? That's why when God asks you for tithe and offering, what is he asking you for? A portion of your life back. I know y'all didn't want to understand that today. I just wanted to throw that in and give y'all something to think about. All right, lay down his life for his friends. 14, you are my what? Friends. Does friend not associate with relationship? Right? You not just my disciple, you my friend. Didn't he just say that a man laid down his life for his what?
Friend.
He didn't say his disciple. He said his friend. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Condition. He the only one that can do that. Don't y'all get quiet on that 14. Now, that's something there, right? Do we understand really what that's saying? Can I help y'all a little bit here?
Yep.
If you don't have respect and faith in what this person that is your friend, y'all not going to be friends anyway. You don't have friends unless you have trust and respect, and that has not been earned on either part. Except we don't earn it with God. God gives us friendship. He extends that to us.
He extends love to us even when we were not lovable. Even when we, even God was loving us even when we didn't want to love him. His love was extended toward us even when we had our back turned to him and running 500 miles in the world. He was still yet loving us.
Right?
Right?
Right.
So why wouldn't we not have a respect, a love, and a trust for one that loved us even when we weren't even caring about him? We finally turn around and look and he has all this for us. Shouldn't we respect, love, and honor that? Right? And why wouldn't you do what he asked you to do after all that you did? It wasn't nothing that you were doing working. Hello? Do we go to him when everything is going just lovely and great and beautiful and we working it on our own? Do we just all of a sudden turn around and say, okay, everything's beautiful today, I'm going to give my life to Christ? Really? Be honest. Everybody comes to God at different stages of their life. But it's not when everything is rosy and all ducky, I guarantee you that one. All right, so I want us to look at that. 15, whenceforth I call you not what? Servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I'm going to stop right here because out of all of that we have talked about, the relationship between God and man is put forth right here. And I want us to not lose sight of this. That's been so much revelation come through here. He says, from now on, since I've explained all of this, I want you to know that I call you not a servant. For the servant does not know what his Lord doeth. Can I give you an earthly scenario of this?
Okay.
When you go to your job, you have no idea what the company is going to do. They can give you a projective, but you don't know what the owner thinking about. You just get your money for the hours that you spend down there and you go ahead. You don't get to sit in board meetings. You don't get to, when they're talking about merging, right? Or when they're talking about laying off, you don't get privy to any of that because you just a worker bee. God is saying when you are attached to me, we got a relationship going, and I let you know what's going on. And do we not have the book of Revelation,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
to let us know what the end going to be?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to close it out because I see we're going to have to get this room up, and I love it. So I would ask if y'all got questions because I see everybody looking. But y'all hold all questions till after we get out of this room. I'll stay around for a few minutes. But we've had just a great time here. And when we get in next Tuesday, Lord willing, and it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground right there. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you that it will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper into where it is sent. It's sent it to good ground for all of those that are listening to the podcast and all of us that are here. And camp your angels around about us to protect us and take us to our next destination. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.